Well, grateful to be with everyone this evening, and I'm just going to be brief, but want to thank everyone for coming. And it's wonderful not only to be here with you, other students and moms, but to be here with other colleagues as well. Because there's colleagues that I don't know, and I'm like, okay, colleagues that I don't know or I don't get to see. But one thing is true, that when you look around this table, we are a group of people that are on a journey. And we have come to this place, right, this road, this place called Bethel, from many different spaces and places. And so the joy of the journey I have learned in my own life is not the pursuit of perfection, but of wholeness. And so I am hopeful that part of what we experience as we laugh together and as you journey here is the pursuit of wholeness. And I think education is certainly a part of wholeness, of learning what you're actually made of, what you're capable of, like parenting. I am not a single mom, but ran an organization called the Jeremiah Program. And I was the director of program operations, and for those of you who may or may not have heard of it, the Jeremiah Program is a broad-based collaborative community initiative, so made up of business, government, education, church, that all came together to break the cycle of poverty in single women. Many of you have friends or know of people who have been trapped in domestic violence situations, have thought that was the only way to survive was to stay. Many had pervasive mental health issues, but all knew this, that they were better than the situations in which they were living. And so the Jeremiah Program sought to break the cycle of poverty by helping women to obtain a post-secondary degree, making enough money that they could live independently and free from the bondages of poverty and other things. So I was the director of program operations there for quite a few years. And I think my greatest growth came in those years when I was also taught about resiliency, self-dependence, identity, courage, and wisdom from the women that I worked with every day, and to now see some of those little ones that were there who are now on their way with a different sense of self. And so our goal was, as we said there, not just for the moms, but to break the cycle of poverty for both generations. So I want you to think about that in the context of what you're doing today, no matter how old your children are, that you are saying to them, no matter what our lot, no matter what our situation, no matter how we got here, that education can be a great equalizer. It can be that thing that God uses to open doors to opportunities, that where you are today is not where you will be always, and that while fear steals dreams, courage and faith elevates you and takes you to another level. And just in the time that we've sat together, I have met courageous women and funny women and people who are doing amazing things, so I congratulate you on that. But one of the things I think also as we are educators and moms and those who are sitting at this table is one of the hardest things for us to do is to find rest, right? If you could take a shower by yourself, it would be amazing. If you could go to the bathroom by yourself, it would be an epiphany. And so I want to be able to talk about finding rest for your soul. Coming just a little bit from Psalm 23, and I don't assume everyone around this table are Christians, but for me a narrative and a scriptural narrative is really helpful as a place to begin. And in my own life and journey of faith, I have found that turning to scriptures, particularly in difficult times, was a way for me to be able to establish some sense of direction. Psalm 23, for many of you, has been, you've heard at funerals, and I've never understood that. Like, why do we talk about Psalm 23 at funerals? When really what it is, it's a psalm of triumph. It's a psalm of getting through dark times and getting to the other side. Mm-hmm. And so whether you are in a place of great lightness or darkness, I want you to know that there is a God who knows you, who knows what you're capable of, and who trusts and believes that when you put your hand in his, he can get you through the valleys of the shadow of death. So let me just read a portion of Psalm 23, and then I'll give you a few things to think about before we hear from our friend Judy. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing that I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. I love that portion of the scripture that says, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Isn't it good to know that God's faithful love will pursue us when other love tends to run cold? When a love that you thought was dependent somehow was not dependent? Isn't it good to know that the faithful love of God, not just known in a relationship that may be marital or not, but the faithful love of God can also be experienced among friends, around new friends and new tables. Isn't that good that the psalmist said only goodness? That means what God has for you is only goodness. That in and through this valley, no matter how dark it is, that God is with you in the midst of the valley. That he will work with you. That when there are things around the corner that you cannot see, the great God of all creation is already around the other side of that corner, teaching you how to navigate the choppy places in your life. And so one of the things that we've got to realize here is that the only way that we can really learn how to receive those things from God is to learn how to rest. Now, honesty, moment of honesty. I am not good at resting. Anyone else want to make that? I am not good at resting. In fact, I think we all learn that as parents. I know for me, whether it's being a single, in my single days or married days or when I had a child, I was always a go-getter. I was always doing something. And rest for me felt frivolous. It felt like I could always be writing something or cleaning something or painting something, doing something. Maybe it was because I felt like time was so short and I wanted to make the most of every day. But here's what I have found. It's fine to make the most of every day, but if you don't have the energy and the passion to go in that day, you are wasting time. You have to find a time to say to yourself, if the God of all creation is telling me that I need to lie down and rest so that I can endure for the journey ahead, then I need to take these moments and I need to find a place and a quiet rest. Now, that may mean while the rest of your house is chaotic, you are trying to take a nap. It may mean a bath. It may be going to the grocery store by yourself. Whatever those is, there can be moments and points of rest. Rest and sleeping in the Bible are two different things, right? Resting was not just a physical rest, but a mental rest, a laying down the troubles of the day. A taking a mental, emotional, and a spiritual break away from all of the things that ail you to just know that you are loved, to just know for a moment that no matter what is happening in your life, that the God of all creation knows your name, that he chose you to be the mom of those precious kids, that he chose you to be the educator, he chose you to be the teacher, he chose you to be the COO, he chose you because he knows in you is inherent value and worth and strength. And so because you are ones who have learned to give, you must also learn to receive. And rest is one of those ways that God is trying to teach you desperately to do that. Now, you may say, how am I supposed to do that? I got classes, I got to work, I got laundry to do, I've got things to do. But in the midst of all of that, that is why it says that in one portion of the scripture, it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, for any of you who had kids like mine were, who were not the nappers, right? So you laid down with your kid and then you had to throw your leg over the top of your kid and then they'd mambo out from underneath your leg. Sometimes I picture God doing that with me. He's like, you have to lay down and you have to rest. And he throws his holy leg over my body and dares me to move while I'm trying to inch out from underneath his leg. Because he's saying, I know what's around the corner and I know the endurance that you're going to need and I know the strength that you're going to need. And the only way that you're going to know what I'm calling you to is to rest enough to hear my voice, to rest in me, to rest in the fact that I have everything that you need. And in that rest, you will find rejuvenation, purpose, and vision. Rejuvenation, purpose, and vision. I hope that where you are today is in a place that no matter how chaotic things seem for you, that you have some measure of vision for yourselves. Some sense of hopefulness for the future, some sense of things can be different, some sense of I can endure and push through no matter how difficult things are. And I guarantee you that the people who are sitting around this table with name tags are the people who will help you to do it. I'm a witness to it. So I am a student alongside of you, amazingly a doctoral student, which I never thought I would ever be. I'm not a person that loves to read. I'm not a person that just is fascinated by research. But at some point in my life, because of other things that happened in my life that I can't tell right now at this table, I knew that I had a choice to make. And the choice was either invest in myself and learn to rest or to simply deal with whatever was given to me. And how many of you know sometimes people will give things to you and those things are not the things that you truly deserve? And so my prayer for you and my encouragement for you as we think a little bit about resting and trusting and having a vision is that we who are around this table, some may be your student in your classes together, but that we who are around this table will get to be a part of your journey of visioning, of resting, and of learning how valuable you truly are, not only to your children, but to the kingdom of God. It's Satan's number one plan to stop you. You need to know that you are a great threat to the enemy, but a great blessing and an arrow in the hand of God. And so our joy and our purpose is to make sure that you succeed, whether that's drying tears, whether that's patting you on the arm and saying you can do it, whether that's saying greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world, whether it's saying I want to work for you one day, whether it's saying good things do come. That my prayer is that you will allow us to be a part of your journey to greatness, but that your greatness doesn't come because you came here. Your greatness came because God chose you as his child. So you were already great, already wonderful, already outstanding. We just get to be a part of your journey. So congratulations on being extraordinary people who have already beat the odds, right? The culture says you shouldn't be in school. The culture says you should have stayed in the relationships you were. The culture says you should be failing. The culture says you shouldn't have courage. And you are already a testament of what it takes to trust God and to beat the odds. So we are grateful to be a part of a circle of friends. We pray those who are learning and have learned to trust, and pray that we can be a part of a continued circle of friends that will see you cross that stage and see you launch off into dreams. So may the Lord, who is your great shepherd, who causes you to rest, causes you to hope, causes you to dream, causes you to be ones who are encouraged, may that same God be the one that you trust when he calls you to rest, the one that you trust when things are incredibly dry, the one that you trust when your house is a pig pen like mine is right now with socks that are piled high. And may you find joy in the journey, knowing that it does come to an end, and that one day you'll be sitting here telling some other young woman or some young man that they too can do it. So God bless you all, and thanks for being here tonight.